Time that you take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 4. And so having just worked through the Heidelberg, or in the Heidelberg Catechism, working through the Apostles' Creed, and so having heard not too terribly long ago a sermon on Ascension Day, wanting to take advantage then of that connection to Ascension Day, that ultimately our life of prayer is, but focusing there. In light of that which is given, in light of the one who is at the right hand of the Father, what is our posture, our attitude, our desire in terms of coming before the Lord in prayer? And certainly then there is great invitation given to us by way of the Scriptures for that. And so let's hear this again for both Ascension and Prayer Day today, Hebrews 4, 14 to 16, and we'll pay special attention just to verse 16 this evening. Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Thus far, the reading of God's holy word. Father, we pray, meet us in your word this evening after a long day, later than normal as we gather for worship. Father, full of just the things of this week already and the things of our lives and hearts, both sorrows and joys and everything in between. And so, Father, would you help us to focus just for a few moments on that which you have for us in your word. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Children of God called to be saints, I pray that on this Ascension Day, even those first words that we have read are not only a comfort to you, but certainly just a way of saying, wow, look at that which has been provided for us in Christ. We have possession, a great high priest who has passed through the heavens. That is the joy of Ascension Day. It is certainly the part of the narrative that many people don't understand, and perhaps why are all of these churches gathering on this Thursday night in May, and yet there is joy in these opening words of Hebrews 4. And yet as we consider that joy, perhaps we don't always think of it. I mean, Jesus is in heaven. It's just that reality. And so we don't always pay special attention not only to the truth of that historical fact, but also that for which it provides us. And perhaps it seems like that because in a celebration of Ascension Day, we don't have anything or anyone to hold on to. At least in the first part, it doesn't seem like we've received anything. I mean, children at Christmas, we're looking ahead, of course, to the incarnation of Jesus, not to anything else that we would receive, because that is the gift of God for us. But nonetheless, that's here are Mary and Joseph receiving the Christ child there in our flesh. They've received something from the hand of the Lord. That while the grave receives Christ at the crucifixion, it cannot keep his people from receiving him again at his glorious resurrection. Again, something to hold on to. And so much of our celebration of redemptive historical dates and events in the history of Christ's life become focused then on that, on the flesh or on his ministry or on what is given in that way. They have someone to hold on to, but at the ascension, Jesus leaves. He's not there in the flesh any longer. Now, that doesn't mean, however, that we don't have something to hold on to. And that's where I think we've settled for less when the Word provides us more. That even here in the text that we've just read, since we have this, this reality of Christ who has passed through the heavens for us, let us hold fast our confession. That is what we hold. That is what he's left for us, a good confession. We have his promises in the days leading up to that ascension, the disciples given something to hold on to. But yet, what is their heart? I mean, certainly there would have been, do you have to go? Why can't you stay? you should just remain here. And when he speaks then of it being better for them, he's already spoken of the fact that he would send a comforter, that which we proclaim and celebrate at Pentecost. We still want something. Something in our hands to hold. Something that is fleshy of a kind. Something that is earthly. Perhaps even in our sins, something kingdom of this world. And instead, Jesus says, it is far better for you to not have me in the flesh. It is far better for you to have these promises, to have this confession. Because in giving us those promises, in giving us that confession, he now gives us a purpose. He gives us a mission, a calling. Because I have to leave so that you may receive that power that's been promised. That's what I give you. That's what you will hold on to, and not you. That's what I will place in you. That is what I will give you. But you will be my witnesses, a task to hold on to ever be mindful of and thinking about. So instead of something, he gives them promises. And then Jesus ascends. I'm always struck by that in the text of just how short it really is. I mean, no differently than one word to say they crucified him. He ascended. He was there and then he was gone. But yet, have you considered how the disciples react and respond? Do we consider our response to the ascension? Because what do? They see him go. And then they just stand there and stare and wait. Like there must be something else. Like something else is going to happen. Some voice, some show, some... They're just staring. Given great promises, given a great purpose, and you're just standing there. Here is the power that is promised by an ascended Lord. Here is the purpose and the mission that he's given. And instead of power and purpose, there's pause. What do? That a church today has been given power from on high, the fullness of the Holy Spirit, has been given a purpose to go and make disciples. And we pause. And so it is good for us to pause on Ascension Day to be mindful of what's been given to us. But to remain there, just staring, just waiting, just hoping for a fast forward between now and the second coming of Christ, says that we think far too little of that which has provided us in his ascension. For as those given promises and the reality of those promises in Christ by his Spirit, what are those benefits? That when people came to you and asked you what you were going to do tonight and you said, I'm going to go to church for Ascension Day, what's the big deal about Christ's ascension? Do you know? I mean, certainly if we, as we do, turn to the catechism, that's explained. First, he's our advocate in heaven in the presence of his Father. Second, we have our own flesh in heaven as a sure pledge that Christ, our head, will also take us, his members, up to himself. Third, he sends his Spirit to us on earth as a corresponding pledge. By the Spirit's power, we seek not earthly things, but the things above where Christ is sitting at God's right hand. And here's the point then on Ascension Day, in the beauty of God's providence in saying, and we as a congregation are going to merge this with Prayer Day, where it becomes all the more convicting. Is that my desire? Is that my longing? Do I want to know more of him? Do I want to draw closer to him? Do I realize what I hold on to and the one at the right hand of the Father that should give me the most joy, the most satisfaction, the most comfort? You see, in Christ, that great high priest who has gone through the heavens for us, we have the fullness of the blessings of Romans 5. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God. And yes, there's a forensic understanding of what that is. This is the sacrifice of Christ. This is paid for that sin. Legal declaration is made. Guilt atoned for. Sin removed. Forever made right with God. Peace and righteousness. But a peace that allows us to draw near and to cry out, Abba, Father. To come before the Lord saying, here is my heart, and here are my needs, and here is my helplessness. And we can do that, why? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. But then it's more, right? And so as awesome as justification is, and that we too celebrate today, Ascension Day says, but there's more. There's more to come, certainly, but there's more now. Through him, we have also obtained now access by faith into this grace in which we stand right now. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We rejoice in what has been given to us and what is ours. We rejoice knowing the power of Christ and his work on our behalf. And yes, as we typically do, we'll get to that at Pentecost. What does that mean now? What does it mean now our flesh is in heaven? What does it mean now your Savior hears you? What does that mean now? It's the guarantee that the Father hears your prayers and answers them for the sake of his Son. It means everything now. And yet as we cling to the truth that he is our great and only high priest, claiming to hold on to those promises, I ask, is it worse than just sitting and staring and looking up into heaven waiting? Or is it worse because of the fact that he's there and we don't speak to him? And we don't call out to him on the basis of the promise that he's given us? And while we're thankful for peace and justification, as that sanctification works in us, we have no more desire to come to the Lord in relationship than we did the hour we first believed. Is ascension reality? It is an understanding that we have a high priest in the heavens working something more, something better, a life lived in the reality of an ascended high priest who is also a chief prophet and only king. Did you hear the words? He is our advocate. He is for you at the right hand of the Father. He is in heaven and you're not, but you're longing to be there. And because he's there, you will be. We have a sure promise that he will take us to himself, which means we get to live in the reality of that blessing now. And the overflow of thanksgiving in our hearts, yes, should be service and grateful obedience. But why have we skipped over relationship and thanksgiving and sweet communion more than just a table, but day by day fellowship in speech and in life and in nearness to the one who grants us access to do that very thing? Access to an almighty, all-knowing, everywhere present Father through an ascended King Jesus Christ, that high priest. Access to the Father through one who sympathizes with you more fully than anyone could, who was a sinless sacrifice for us and has made us then in that sacrifice to be accounted before God as though we had never sinned or been sinners. Access into that kind of peace with a Father who delights in relationship with us and places his name upon us even as he delights in our crying out his name. Relationship with one who loves us, who lived for us, who knows us, who lives with us now, who rules over us, and is coming again for us. We have access. So how are we holding fast to that confession? Because we have much to hold on to. And the way that that should be born out in us first is in that life of prayer. Not just at a special service, not just in trying to follow along with the pastor in the long prayer, not even just in the rote prayers that we give where we fire through them and don't always think about them. We have access through the one who has gone into the heavens. And so on this Ascension Day, I just want to take a few more moments to speak to you about the privilege of praying to an ascended high priest continually, giving thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. It's the blessing of a combined service tonight. So as we think on these words in Hebrews 4:16, with that context and blessing in mind, desire to take full advantage in every opportunity of what's been afforded to you in Him. And so if you're taking notes, it's going to be four things. First, we pray to an ascended high priest, acknowledging His presence. That's what we're doing today. Oh, Jesus isn't on earth anymore. He's present. Of course He is. Just because Christ is in heaven in our flesh doesn't mean He's absent from us for a moment. That those prayers are not fantasies, that we aren't praying to something invisible and or unreal. We pray to a person. We pray to an only high priest. We pray to a brother, a friend, a savior, a redeemer. The one who loved you and gave Himself for you. It is all about that relationship. Is it real? If we confess that He is real, then that presence should be really and truly known among us. You see, we rejoice in His ascension because it makes that place of presence then a safe one. And I use that word a little bit because He is good, but He is not safe. We approach a holy God. And we need to be sure that we approach in and through the person and work of Jesus Christ. But because of His ascension and being found in Him, it grants all of His people access at any moment, anywhere. That's how the ascension is a benefit to us. So that when Jesus says in Matthew 28:20, "And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age," He means it. And when the writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews 13:5, "I will never leave you nor forsake you," that these are the words of Christ, He means it. That there is no time or place where He does not desire us to come or is too busy for us to come. That is the privilege ours by way of His ascension. But more, it moves our place not just now into, "Hey, I need to go there," or "I need to be found there." Now in Christ, we are there. We're not praying for something that we don't already have access to. We are found in Christ. And so we are there. We live always before the face of God, coram Deo. We are always living in the shadow of our Savior. We are always living under the shadow of His wings, ascended realities, most fully found in Him. So as those who have been brought to the Father by the grace given to us in Jesus, assured of it by way of His ascension to the right hand of the Father, let us draw near. That the ascension should be then that reminder to us. We as a congregation, individuals, yes, families, yes, congregation, Catholic little C church. This is the task and the vital breath that we are given to. That we would be a praying people. that no one should have to say about the church, man, they're a really great church because they're a praying people. They are not a church if they are not a praying people. May that never be said of us, because it's not optional. Let us draw near, not just in times of emergency, not just when we've messed everything up, not just when we need something. I mean, kids, a little bit of a newsflash there. Your parents, we love you and we want to provide for you. When you only come to talk to us when you need something. And I mean, that goes to service in general, right? Oh, and we'll still do it. We love you. But how about a little bit different conversation sometimes? Or thanksgiving and gratitude and joy and sharing and just doing life together. How much more the Lord, who will always be faithful and kind. For his ascension, he has granted this, that we might be granted the blessings of an ongoing, never-ending, no reason to cease bit of reality in his presence. Are we mindful of it and thankful of it? Know what is afforded to you and long for more of that presence, and might we long for that together. Second, we pray to an ascended high priest acknowledging his confidence. Because it's interesting there, even in writing the point, that we hear that and say, well, we have confidence. I hope not. I hope not. If we're looking at our own confidence as the reason to go to the Father, I'd rather not have confidence. My confidence is found not in me, but in him. I come not in my confidence, but the confidence of Christ. So let us then with confidence, let us then with Christ draw near. That because Jesus is in heaven in our flesh, preparing that place for us, we have the confidence to enter there. Again, not in us, but in him. Because if we tried to get in by ourselves, there is no entry. And if we found some kind of entry, we would be expelled and ended instantly. And so maybe you're like, well, that sounds a little bit scary to draw near to somebody that way. Well, maybe think about it this way. Have you ever gone somewhere new and you just really wished you knew somebody there who could kind of show you around a little bit? Who knew what doors to go to and where to sit and where to hang out and all of that, right? That as long as we have that one person, we can navigate that. Jesus is in heaven in our flesh for us. Has done all things for our salvation and now has entered into the heavens for us. That I might have comfort in this life and in the life to come. That at the end of my days, I will fear nothing because he is with me. It's great hope. Jesus bids us come. He delights in our coming. And that we would do so again in the confidence that is him and what he has given and what he has done and the grace that he has provided and the promise that he has given for us to hold on to. So that as I come, I would not make demands as a petulant child, but I would come as one who is thankful for the relationship that I have because of Christ, knowing that the Father will act in goodness and wisdom always, because that is the confidence founded and rooted in his word. Are we coming in our prayers, Ascension Day or whenever, in the confidence of Christ? We can do that because third, we pray to an ascended high priest acknowledging his residence. And you're like, well, his address is heaven. Yeah, but the verse continues. And it makes us mindful of what that confidence is about and what that hope is about. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace. A juxtaposition of two things that seem very contrary to us. And again, because we got rid of the red coats and all of that, we don't deal in royalty and all of that kind of thing anymore. But considering that back in the day in history of drawing near to a king, you didn't want to be in that presence. There was going to be a distrust. What did we do? What have we done? What's going to happen? There's none of that with the Almighty Father. Yes, it's his throne. It is his authority. It's his place. It's his rule. And yet now in Christ, that is for us, not a throne of judgment. It will be for many. And if you are hearing these things not right with Jesus Christ, that throne remains that way. And there will be a great judgment in the last day before that throne. And apart from Christ, you will have no hope, no confidence, no inheritance. But for us, it is a throne of grace upon grace upon grace. And how sweet and awesome is that place? That I can come with anything, knowing that that Son intercedes and that Spirit is bringing it and the Father receives it. That is where our prayers are directed, to a throne of grace, where there is one able and willing and powerful and sovereign, and who can do far more exceedingly abundantly than we could ask or think. That is your ascended Lord in heaven, guaranteeing your place there, who has gone to prepare a place for you so that you could await that homegoing, hear it, actively. That in his power and plan for you, in that promise and purpose given to the apostles and to the disciples that has come through by way of that commission to us, that I acknowledge this world is not my home. And I pray in that way because I know where I am going. But now, Father, may I be found faithful in Christ Jesus. May I acknowledge where I am going and my longing for others, to bring others along there by way of your grace. Might we pray concerning that promise and purpose in the assurance of that throne of grace, that we would finally pray to an ascended high priest, acknowledging his assistance. That we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That we may receive compassion, care, sympathy, understanding, and find grace. The grace that we need in an understanding of our relationship with the Father, the grace that we need to care for one another and to be cared for by each other in time of need, which is all the time. There isn't a time in which we are not in need of the Father's care and provision for us. No time where we do not need the work of Christ on our behalf interceding for us. No time where we do not need more and more a full measure of the Holy Spirit's work in us. So if you stop praying because you don't think you need very much, or you don't need anything, pray, Father, show me again my need. What are you seeking? Are you seeking things that are in accord with mercy and grace? What are you asking him for? The blessings that he has given us in grace upon grace upon grace. I mean, the things that we complain about, the things that we say that we need, that only 1% of the people in this world can at least say that and not absolutely be shattered. All I have needed, your hand has provided. But are we praying? Are we acknowledging his need for help when we rise, that we come to Jesus? When we go to bed, that we come to Jesus? That in every moment of every day, we are living, practicing the presence of God. For what has he said? Jeremiah 33:3, call to me and I will answer you. And I will tell you great and hidden, unsearchable things that you have not known. Which then after we pray, we what? We work. While we work, we pray. And there's always going to be that back and forth, but we can do that because of what we hold on to in the ascension. What we hold on to is that guarantee. What we hold on to is that purpose. What we hold on to, we know at Pentecost in power. But be encouraged in that life of prayer, that if you are found in Christ, acknowledging that presence, knowing that your confidence is not in you but in Him, knowing where He is and where you long to be, and knowing that you will only get there because of His work, allow that to be your thank you on this Ascension Day. Bow your knee to Him, for that high priest is Lord as well, but He is a Savior who has made rich promises that have all come true. Amen. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank You for those blessings of Your ascension. That we thank You, Lord Jesus, that we know Your presence among us, even where two or more are gathered in Your name. That no matter where we are, You are never absent from us, not for a moment. That even when we run away and seek to hide from You, there You are with us. That if we ascend to the heights, if we go down to the depths, even there You hold us. And so, Father, in an acknowledgement of that presence, which is promised to us in that ascension, Lord, may we live that way. Recognizing that You do, Father and Son, see all that is done and all that is before us, all that happens, all that will happen. That, Father, we are not hiding anything from You, and so may we lay it bare before You. Coming to You, Lord, in all of that repentance and contrition, in all of that need of You to work, Father, may we live then in that presence, mindful, Lord, that others need to hear the wonder of Your presence among us. Father, might we be filled with the confidence of Christ, of knowing that He is seated at Your right hand, that His ascension has been that moment that He has taken up that rightful place again. Father, may we come boldly. Might we come confidently. Lord, not in us, but in Him. Lord, thank You for the promise of that residence. Not only that Your Son is there at Your right hand, that throne of grace to us, but Father, that He's preparing a place for us and He will come again for us. And so, Lord, for every bit of the assistance that we need day by day, for the daily bread that we need, for the clothes that we wear, for the houses that we live in, for the education we need, Father, for sustaining mercies and graces. Lord, for all of it, we say thank You. And so, Lord, may that come out in the words of our mouths, in the meditations of our spirit, Father, in the prayers that we offer, that we would be a grateful people, thankful for all that has come about as our great high priest has gone through the heavens, as our King, Father, has taken that place at the throne, and Lord, as His word has been sent out in the power of Your Holy Spirit. And so, Lord, thank You for this time that we could pause again to be mindful of our confidence and boldness. Lord, would You grant us the help that we need? And Father, even as we offer an offering for the work of Hugs Ranch, Father, may in whatever service we take up, those things that we support, those things that we support by way of our giving, our time, our efforts, our energies, Father, would You receive it all as a sacrifice and testimony